by the committee.
Mr. Chairman, I shall move.
Representative Billamy moves introduction of LC 875, which specifies agency responsibilities for payment of appointed counsel at state expense, clarifies authority of State Indigent Defense Board at the request of the Judicial Department. Any objections? If not, so introduced. We've got four bills up for work session. Going to recognize Representative Burton on House Bill 2078.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2078 comes out of the Subcommittee 2, and you should have in front of you a staff measure analysis on that bill. This is dealing to latent print finger identification, and effectively what it does is allows the Department of State Police is providing latent print identification services to all criminal justice agencies for crimes against persons. Latent print identification is not provided to local law enforcement agencies as a result of statutory requirement, but is provided as a discretionary service by the state police. A lot of local law enforcement agencies don't have the capability to do this service, to have this capability themselves, and the concern, I guess, expressed that since it's discretionary, that it might be eliminated. This measure requires the state police to provide latent print identification to local law enforcement agencies for crimes against persons, and guarantees continuation of the service to local law enforcement agencies. It's a bill that is supported by the state police, and we had in the original bill, and you should have that indicated, some amendments. And the amendments where there was some discussion about the term major crimes, and that term has been eliminated. That's in Section 1, Sub 2E, and capital A, I guess, is how you do that. You can see where those have been marked. And then there's an addition of a subsection 3 under Section 1, which is at the bottom of the copy bill you should have there, that says the Bureau may, upon request, provide latent print identification services for all other crimes. The intent of this was to give the state police latitude in providing those services as they had time beyond the crimes against persons concerned that they had. There is, Mr. Chairman, a significant fiscal impact, there is a fiscal impact, and that's been provided to the members. Fiscal analysis of proposed legislation shows an impact in the current buyer, in the biennium that we're in right now, would be in the 87-89 biennium at $240,000, and in 89-91, $480,000. Part of that's the effect of positions being added. So this will require a referral to Ways and Means.
Okay. Representative Burton moves that House Bill 2078 be reported to the floor as amended, with a further recommendation that it be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Is there further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
Just a question. I look at the fiscal analysis of $250,000 in the first biennium and $500,000 in the next, and the summary of the bill says this is now discretionary and being provided by state police. I suppose my question is, how can it have a fiscal implication if it's already being provided? Is that some sort of different way of accounting?
Well, we do have representatives of the state police who may be able to respond. That is something that I don't know that any one of us is particularly qualified to answer, or our staff. And we thought better to err on the side of caution if it did reflect a fiscal impact, whether or not those services were being provided or not. It appears that in the comments to the fiscal impact, which members have before them, it indicates that this function is currently being performed but requires approval of a portion of a decision package to meet expected workload in 1987-1989. Is that helpful?
Mr. Chairman, if you...
Representative Burton.
Representative Hanlon, if you notice on the fiscal impact, I don't know if you have a copy of that, that yeah, also has a FTE increase there as a result of the workload. So that's where that cost, I assume, is anticipated. While the service is being provided right now, I think other testimony I received indicated that that response time would be greatly enhanced by the addition of staff, and I can't remember, I'm going to have to, maybe we can ask Captain Ritter to join us for a minute, what the total staffing capability capacity is over there right now, but I know that there is there was a concern that perhaps they're not staffed adequately to handle the load that would be coming in addition to this, and that's generally what's being anticipated here. Do you want to?
It's up to Representative Hanlon.
I'd like to know how this fiscal impact came about. If it's already occurring at the discretion of the state police, but it's been an ongoing service to local law enforcement agencies, then how is it something new in the general fund implications of it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hanlon, I don't know how the fiscal impact came about on this. We are providing this service now as the bill is written with the amendments. In our budget requests, we're asking for 3 additional latent print field positions. As Representative Burton explain to cut down on a response time, provide better service. That fiscal impact that you have there probably relates to what's in our budget proposal for ways and means.
Mr. Chair, that was the reason for my question. This already exists in the state budget and is in a proposed state budget, and we have a substantive bill which says the services shall continue to be provided as they have been in the past. And I'm just trying to understand, for my own sake, the fiscal reports that we get and the implications. And I think the response has been that for the first biennium, $250,000 is blamed on this bill, and for the second biennium, $500,000 is blamed on this bill. At least the way this is written.
No argument with that. Representative Burton?
Well, yeah, Mr. Chairman. Representative Hanlon, I understand what you're saying. Actually, the fiscal impact is a result of the increase in that particular division of the department and not really due to the bill, because they're doing this work anyway. So if your point is that perhaps we shouldn't have a subsequent referral of Ways and Means because the fiscal implications are independent of the bill, I'd be hesitant to do that, because I think we do have to relate it back, but it probably needs to be clearly defined when it goes before what it is.
Mr. Chair, just in response to Representative Burton, I'm not challenging this bill or its subsequent referral. I'm just trying to get it straight in my mind as to the fiscal implications and the kinds of reports that I'm sure this committee will receive over the course of this session. Many times, I want to be able to understand what the fiscal officer is telling us and how that fits in with the main ways and means process. And that's the only reason I didn't mean to challenge the bill in any way. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Burton.
Okay, Representative Burton.
Well, I just was going to say, considering the activity on the floor of the House today, perhaps it is a good thing to have these things clarified in committee rather than trying to decide out on the floor.
Well,
amen to that. Okay. Further question?
In the spirit of that adventure, I have a question too, and that is that it's so close. In fact, well, it's just very, very close to being exactly twice as much, and there are exactly twice as many employees. That seems to make sense. I guess my question is just the ways and means question. Is this just the employee impact? And I think Mike tried to answer that. Is this just the cost of 2.5 full-time equivalents? So the cost of each full-time equivalent is about $100,000. Is that
you're talking about your fiscal impact that
right.
you have in front of
right.
you? It's for three full-time officer positions and two clerical specialists is what the fiscal impact should relate to.
Well,
Representative Burton.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Just to clarify that, you don't have this.
No, I don't.
And maybe it would be useful if you could have that, so you see what we're talking about. I think the information is on here is the total divisional impact cost within the department is my assumption for the Life and Friends Bureau or whatever. I don't know what the designation in your office is, but that shows that $240,000 for 2.5 FTE, and my assumption here is that they're gathering if that's some kind of a workload. I'm wondering if you did have some input on that. Have you seen this before?
No, sir, I have not seen this.
I would think so. That's just a good trial question, application question.
Mr. Chair, President Burton, the 2.5 FTEs for the 87-89 would be what we'd have to bring on board for that time period because of the training these individuals go through. We can't handle all five in the first part of the biennium.
I think just to clarify this, the question here, that's 2.5 additional FTE that you would bring on in the first in this biennium currently, that's what you're anticipating, and then what you're talking about in 89-91, which you'd have to come back in again, of course, into a new budget, would be an additional 2.5.
Yes.
That's not 7.5 altogether.
No, sir.
It's actually a total of 2.5, but the $240,447 figure there, that isn't the cost of 2.5 people for that biennium, or is it?
Involves equipment, supplies and equipment.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. It's part of that.
Thank you.
You got me lost. Okay, any further questions?
Comments? Okay, the motion is to send this to the floor with a due pass recommendation and subsequent referral to Ways and Means as amended. Clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellman?
Aye.
Buns?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Bringer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Okay, next bill coming up is pursuant to our agenda. It's 2158. Representative Burton?
Mr. Chairman, 2158 is a bill dealing with the mental health and psychiatric exams given at state hospitals for dangerous offenders. Basically, under existing law, the court can order psychiatric examinations at the state hospital for dangerous offenders. Existing law actually authorizes the mental health division to charge counties, if these people referred out of county courts, for the examinations. But under actual practice, the counties haven't been charged for those services. The division, the mental health division, plans to initiate charges for the services that would be at a charge of approximately $100 per case, assuming a stay of one day at the state hospital. Counties pay the transportation costs back and forth. The cost to counties for this ranges from $200 to $700 per evaluation at the high end, of the cost depending on whether the evaluation conducted at the jail or local hospital. And local psychiatrists, as we understand, typically charge $100 to $200 per examination. And an average daily cost of hospitalization is $500. There's about 25 to 30 of the examinations that are performed annually through the state hospital. We sent the bill to you, but since that time, there was some discussion between the Mental Health Division and the Association of Oregon Counties, and in your packets there, you should have a memo from the Mental Health Division, Joe Murray, and also a memo, interoffice memo from Barry Cast, who is here, and from the mental health division. They worked out an amendment to satisfy some of the concerns that the Association of Oregon Counties had about where this would be, where these costs would be, and that has not been amended by, it was not amended by the subcommittee, but that amendment, if this committee wishes to adopt it, and apparently everybody's in agreement, we could ask the parties to come up if that's necessary, but that would be found in line 7 of the bill. In that sentence that's there, the court may appoint one or more qualified psychiatrists to examine the defendant in the local jail, and be the addition of those, of that language, in the local jail. And that would satisfy that concern. As it's mentioned here by Mr. Cast, evaluations performed under this particular statute do not need to be performed in a hospital setting. The efficiency of the examinations will be substantially increased if performed in a local jail, where certain criminal histories are readily available and the security of the examiner can be assured. And this would result in cost savings to the counties, and apparently the mental health division has agreed to that, and that would be their amendment. If you would like, Mr. Chairman, I can move that amendment
Sure.
to the motion now. I would move then that we amend House Bill 2158 to include the language under Section 1, Sub 1 on line 7 of the bill, after the word defendant, to include the words in the local jail.
Okay, Representative Burton moves that in addition to the amendments previously adopted by the subcommittee, that we further adopt the amendments proposed by the Mental Health Division on line 7 after the word defendant, insert in the local jail. And Representative Burton, if I may, I've been corrected by at least one sheriff for referring to a local correctional facility as a jail. So if the appropriate term is local correctional facility, I assume that your amendment would permit council to use the appropriate terminology, as long as we understand that we are talking about a jail.
Thank you,
or
Mr.
local
Chairman,
correctional facility.
I think that's probably a good point to make. I noticed some nodding going on out there in the audience. So,
okay.
Who ought to know better than anybody, I suppose.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? If not, that will be adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 2158 be adopted by the committee and sent to the House with a due pass recommendation,
okay,
as amended.
Representative Burton moves the Bill 2158 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Let me just point out for the record and for members' information that I was contacted by Senator Yee yesterday, who had a couple of amendments, which one of which had already been addressed by this committee. One of her amendments, upon the request of her local Linn County mental health supervisor or director, would have required the court to pay for the cost of examination. I tried to explain to her, and I would be glad to explain to her, that we did review that issue specifically in terms of whether the county or the court ought to be paying, and that we agreed to stay with the present language in the statute. She also suggested that on line 7, where there's reference to qualified psychiatrists, that we change that language to state qualified physician or medical examiner, because apparently she and her mental health director are of the opinion that if there may be a cost savings if someone other than a psychiatrist is to be appointed, and I don't have any particular feelings one way or the other on that issue. However, I guess it would be my concern that when we're talking about an investigation and an examination for purposes of a criminal sentence, we probably want the most qualified examiner or investigator possible. So I told her I would mention those issues. If there is any further interest in following up on either of those, we could do so and perhaps refer the matter back to subcommittee. But I think Senator Yee also understood that this bill, if she wished to pursue it further, would be available on the Senate side for further amendment. But I, as a courtesy to her, I did want to mention both of those issues. If Representative Burton.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I was just, volume 3 of our statutes are missing here. I think the one of the things that, and I appreciate what Senator Yee is maybe saying there in a sense of providing a little more flexibility in who can do these examinations, but I think that the If I understand, the examinations for people who are convicted of felony under particular statutes that are of such a nature that finding a qualified medical examiner or physician would probably end up resulting in someone being a certified psychiatrist. So I'm kind of wondering if we aren't chasing ourselves around that one, but that discussion could be made over in the Senate. I appreciate your willingness to see that through that way.
I think those comments are appropriate. And unless there is further interest in any of those amendments, I think we'll close the discussion and go ahead and ask the clerk to call the roll on the motion to refer the bill to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellman?
Aye.
Button?
Aye.
Burton?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye.
Phillips?
Aye.
Ringer?
Aye. Motion's adopted. Any volunteers or carriers? Representative Burton? Okay. Thank you to those folks who worked with us. You are also alerted as to Senator Yee's concern, and you may wish to visit with her. And I'm sure she'd be glad to share with you the correspondence from her county mental health director, it's possible perhaps to resolve their concern on the Senate side. We sure encourage you to do so. But thank you again for your help. Appreciate it very much. Okay, the next bill coming up is 2186, relating to costs of producing evidence.
Chairman, this bill deals with the cost of producing evidence, and under current law, there's some confusion apparently, or there's a lack of clarity as to the respective obligation of the state, the counties, and criminal defendants regarding the payment of witness fees. And the Judicial Department believes that it cannot approve expenditures for which there is no express authorization for payment, either state statute or an applicable federal or state appellate court rulings. As a result of this, there is some confusion over who's responsible for paying the witness fees. In addition, there's no procedure currently for securing and paying witnesses in juvenile mental health proceedings. What this bill does is establishes that in circuit and district courts, criminal proceedings, the counties can remain responsible for the cost of providing witness fees called on behalf of the prosecution. The Indigent Defense Board is responsible for the cost of providing witnesses called on behalf of indigent defense. The non-indigent defendants are responsible for the cost of providing witnesses to their own defense, and sheriffs remain responsible for the cost of transporting and incarcerating witnesses, any incarcerated witnesses. They also have to incarcerate witnesses in a lot of cases. However, under this measure, the sheriff would receive the witness fee and expense to which the witness would be entitled. And this also sets up procedures for paying of witnesses in juvenile mental health proceedings. So basically, it's a housekeeping matter. Make some clarification of law as to how those matters are proceeded. And we received a considerable number of amendments to this, which have not been engrossed, but I think you should have copies of that. Or I don't know if this, everybody have copies of the proposed amendments to 2186. Those were adopted by the subcommittee, and they were presented by the state court administrator. And they are fairly lengthy, but they were specific in their language. One of the amendments that we made was in reference to on section 2, sub 1, line 18. At one point, we amended out the language as provided in ORS 136602, because the committee, in looking at that, thought we were referring to language in existing statutes, but in fact, this bill amends ORS 136602, and in the way the bill is drafted, it's drafted with that as a reference to the ORS as if it had been amended. So that is properly in place, that particular reference. So the You will have in your copy, there is an indication that that language should be bracketed out and amended out. And in fact, I need to make a motion to leave that language as it is. And it would make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to amend. Now, let's see, what am I doing? In House Bill 2186, the subcommittee sent you an amended version to amend out in Section 2, Sub 1, Line 18, as the words as provided in ORS 136.602, and I would move to restore that language as it exists in the printed bill.
Okay, let's take that as an amendment first. Representative Burton moves to restore the language on Line 18, Page 1 of the printed bill as follows. After costs, comma, restore the language as provided in ORS 136.602, comma. Is there any further discussion of the amendment? Any objection to that amendment? If not, it would be so adopted. Representative Burton moves the floor to the floor of the bill as amended with a favorable do-pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Representative Bauman.
Now I'm confused, and I just need some clarification, because I noted on my copy of the bill that ORS 136602 was deleted because it dealt solely with prosecution and grand jury witnesses. And I guess what I need is to have counsel provide me with a copy of 136602, or do you have a copy?
It's in the bill.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, let me go back and try to explain, and I might ask some assistance from Ms. Zuckerman on or someone here on this if we could. But as I understand, it's the way in which the bill is drafted. ORS 136.602 is in the bill itself.
I see.
This,
okay.
When you draft the bill, the drafters include the statutory references as if the law had already been changed. So it is not referring back to the old language. It's referring to the language as it is now changed. Is that clear? Is that stated properly? And it is confusing, but that's the way they do it.
My question is...
If I say yes, I have to put my name on the record, right? No. That's correct.
Thank you.
I'll come back up if you have any other questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just another comment, if I may. We did receive a fiscal impact assessment from Legislative Fiscal, and I said this has no fiscal impact.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate that clarification. Thank you, Ms. Kleck. Any further questions, comments, discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hamlin.
It doesn't change anything as the practice presently exists, I take it.
Well, I don't know that I'd go that far. Ms. Click, do you want to respond to that?
For the record, Kingsley Click, State Court Administrator's Office. Mr. Chairperson.
Are there some jurisdictions in which the defendant's witness fees, if any, are paid by the court? Or is there a lack of clarity in this area as to what the court's responsibility or the state's responsibility is?
The latter. This was... According to our research in the last three sessions where there have been amendments to witness statutes, the thing that keeps coming over and over again is the intent that the prosecution pays the cost of the prosecution, defense pays the cost of defense, and if they're indigent, the state pays the cost of indigence. Because in a couple of the areas it isn't straightforward in the statutes, there's been some volleying back and forth, and because when we get bills up, it doesn't say who called the witness, we may have been paying for some we shouldn't have. Our intent is that we not be, but our understanding as here is the understanding that we have gleaned from the last few legislative sessions. Is that responsive, Representative Hamlin, to your question?
Help out, Representative, or feel free to follow up with any more specific questions you have.
Yes, I don't see any county representatives in here trying to come up and raise any substantial concerns. So, yeah, I think that.
Good bill should pass.
Well, if I recall, Mr. Chair, my memory's a little hazy. When we went to the state court system in 1990, 81, was it? We had some problems with costs and who paid what costs, and they were some gigantic problems, if I recall.
Very much so.
And so we're still sorting them out right here and today, and I think...
Correct, little by little, yeah.
We're going to have other legislation that's going to address the issue whether or not witness fees and mileage themselves are adequate. And I think most of us would probably recognize that whatever it is, 8 cents a mile, 10 cents a mile.
Right. 8 cents in state, 10 cents out of state.
It's not really adequate to compensate those who have to travel any distance, nor is the statutory witness fee, which is $5 a day.
Yes.
Sufficient really to compensate witnesses. So there may be changes proposed in that area as well, which may have additional cost impact, but I think what Ms. Click is telling us is that this may not particularly affect the practice in various jurisdictions, but it just makes it clear who is in fact responsible if there's a question as to who is required or called or subpoenaed the particular witness.
Okay.
More or less.
Hopefully more.
Probably more. Okay. Are there further questions? We have Representative Burton's motion before us. The clerk will call the roll.
Bellman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Bunn?